Welcome back to another edition of Sea Control, a podcast series hosted by the Center for International Maritime Security, or CIMSEC. My name is Natalie Sambi, and I'm an analyst at the Australian Strategic Policy Institute in Canberra, and host of Sea Control's Asia-Pacific edition, and I'm coming to you this week from Washington, D.C. Today we'll be talking about the cyber domain. My guest is Clay Aiken, an ASPI colleague who's also an analyst in our International Cyber Policy Center. And we'll be back with that after a short break.
Hola, nuestros amigos. Do you like Sea Control? Do you enjoy the CIMSEC Next World blog? Become part of the discussion and our community. Sign up for CIMSEC membership at www.cimsec.org/about/membership. To get our articles and podcasts emailed to you every week, and an account that allows you to submit articles directly to our editors through WordPress. We think Sea Control is a very fine product, but it's nothing without your constant support and engagement. Your ideas keep us going. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
And we're back now with Clay Aiken. Welcome, Clay, back home in wintry Canberra.
Hi, Nat. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Look, I mentioned the International Cyber Policy Center at ASPI. Let's just start a little bit by talking about what you do there.
Well, the International Cyber Policy Center is a research center within ASPI. We started just back in August, so we're still a fairly young center, but we're definitely really excited with the kind of work that we're doing. We have a very wide remit of issues that we deal with. We look a lot at the domestic cyber picture within Australia, looking at the structures of government, private-public partnerships, which is a really big issue right now in Australia. But we also look at the more international side of things and the regional side of things. We just recently wrapped up a series on our blog about international internet governance. We do some work on regional partnerships and regional confidence-building measures. So we look at pretty much the whole profile of cyber issues that are affecting the world today. Some things that we recently wrapped up, we have a Cyber Maturity in the Asia-Pacific Region report that I know we're going to talk about a little bit later.
Yep.
We're planning a roadshow around Australia that we're going to kick off pretty soon just to interact with regional businesses, Australian businesses, as well as the government, try and bring the dialogue together between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
We are looking to do a little more work within the ASEAN region. My colleague Jess and Toby, they just wrapped up work on the Malaysia-Australia Cyber Confidence Building Measure ASEAN Regional Forum Workshop, which was really exciting for us. So we're getting a lot of stuff going. We're really reaching out. We're looking to expand some more. We have two international fellows, Samir Saran, over in New Delhi, and Jim Lewis over in D.C. at CSIS as well.
Excellent.
We're looking to expand that.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's just turn for a second to cybersecurity in Australia. Obviously, for the benefit of our international colleagues, can you outline perhaps what are some of the, you know, the cybersecurity challenges actually facing our country or your adopted country?
Well, with Australia, it's actually in a fairly good position internationally in terms of cyber policy and cyber capabilities, which is actually quite surprising to some people, both within Australia and internationally. There's a lot of good thinking, a lot of good capability in Australia.
Why are people so surprised, though?
I think it's because when you look at the media, when you look at the general research, most people are looking at the US, UK, sometimes Sweden, Estonia as well in Europe, also China, Russia, when you think of cyber powers.
Right.
Even in the more developing world, you look at Brazil, who's really active, or even India, who's really pushing on these sort of issues, while Australia is oftentimes seen more on the sidelines, which is a false perception because they actually do take a leadership role regionally as well as internationally. Australia chaired the recent United Nations group of government experts on cyber issues, and actually there was a lot of progress during that meeting. So Australia, it's in a very good position, but as with any other country or any other government, there are definitely challenges that Australia needs to address. 2009 was the last time they created an official government cyber strategy, which in cyberspace, which is such a quickly moving field, it's a bit dated already. there is no real official international strategy yet. They've been working towards it. There's been a lot of politicians, ministers going out there and building ideas around the international strategy, but there hasn't been anything put on paper. So the real challenge is finding a whole-of-government approach and a whole-of-government structure. And there's definitely pathways into this. The Australian Cybersecurity Center is going to be launched towards the end of this year officially.
Okay.
So there's a lot of work going into it, but you know, it's still a challenge just creating a whole-of-government side.
Okay. Awesome. Well, it's good to know what's going on with Australia. Now, let's look a little bit more broadly and talk about cybersecurity in the Asia-Pacific. You mentioned earlier that your team in April released a report called Cyber Maturity in the Asia-Pacific Region 2014, and just, you know, to grab a quote from that, you said the Asia-Pacific region is ideal for exploring the concept of cyber maturity because it's undergone tremendous economic growth, political transformation, and social change. Now, I just want to start with a basic question, you know, for the benefit of our listeners. What does cyber maturity actually mean?
Well, with the concept of cyber maturity, we're trying to expand the dialogue behind the oversimplification of cyber war, cyber espionage, and just looking at capabilities. We want to really look at the whole picture. So we take a comprehensive look looking at presence, implementation, operations of cyber-related structures, policies, legislation, and organization. So really, we want to see what the whole of government policy, legislative structures, we include military organization because it is an important part, but we also look at business and digital economic strength, as well as levels of cyber, social awareness, and connectivity to bring a whole nation picture.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point to sort of underscore. I think sometimes when we look at cyber capacity, we look at what government and military tends to do. So, you know, in this case, was there anything on the business side that was surprising or remarkable?
On the business side, I think the most interesting thing that we looked at is with the dialogue, most people are looking at the room for conflict in cyberspace. But on the business side, there's so much room for capacity building within the region, as well as relationship building between different businesses. But there's also the other side of the discussion, which looks at, you know, the recent issue between the Department of Justice and China, where there is issues of cyber espionage in the business space. So it's reflective of the same kind of conflict and opportunities for cooperation that governments have. So it's a very, very interesting field.
Excellent. Now, I have to ask, I mean, in the report itself, you go through and you rank each of the countries in the Asia-Pacific region based on their cyber maturity, right? I have to ask, who came out on top?
Well, the listeners in D.C. will be very happy to know that America is number one in cyber maturity. But really, the most interesting thing for people opening the report to begin with is the weighted scores where we rank all the countries. But what we really want to emphasize is it's not just one comprehensive score that matters. It's looking into each area and each the governance area, the military area, the economic area, and the social area that really gives a more full picture of how diverse and complex cyberspace really is.
Sure. I mean, yeah, that's very true. There's a much more nuanced picture. But just if we had to have a snapshot, let's just say of the first five highly ranked countries, what are those top five?
Well, the top five is the US on top. UK comes in a close second, followed by Australia, South Korea, Japan, which are extremely close, nearly tied.
Right. And what about China and India? Where did they fall? Not even in the top five so far.
Yeah, it's another surprising point to a lot of readers. China falls seventh in the region, and India is down at ninth.
Right. So, hang on a sec. I've got two questions out of that. The first is, well, India being such an IT-savvy country, I would have thought it would have ranked higher based on its experiences or whatnot. How is it that China ranks higher? Can you just shed a bit of light on that?
Well, yeah, of course. Well, again, we're looking at the whole of government picture, the whole of nation picture. So when you look at India, they have a lot of strong things. They have a lot of potential on the business side, for sure. And they have a lot of great legislation. They have a lot of structures in place. But where they fall behind is on international engagement, which is a very important issue, and China is extremely strong on that. Their capabilities, especially on the military side, and I guess it's no surprise, are a little bit below China's. And even economically, despite the potential that they have, it's not being fostered in the same way as in China. So really, they have a lot of good foundations in India, but it's a matter of executing both on the government side and the business side that keeps them a little bit lower in our rankings.
Right. Well, it'll be interesting to see where they go under a new government. Look, just returning to the top five for a second, I'm sure some of our listeners have picked up that your report's on the Asia Pacific, but there's the curious inclusion of the United Kingdom. Can you just tell me a little bit about why that is?
Well, the UK has definitely sparked a lot of questions in Australia and pretty much with everyone that's read our report. The report was actually launched by the Minister of Communications, Malcolm Turnbull, and he accused us of being British imperialists.
What? But
I assure you that that is not the case. The UK, we think, is a really useful benchmark in cyber maturity. First of all, it has a really well-known cyber profile similar to the US, and therefore it can act as a really easy point of reference for our readers, especially those outside the Asia-Pacific region, because we're looking to expand the understanding of the region for the whole world, not just people here. So it really helps especially our European readers to understand this is what our metric means, this is what 9 means or an 8 means or a 7 means. So it's just it's a good point of comparison and a good benchmark.
Okay, I see. Now, just one last question on the report. I mean, it's labeled 2014. Is there an expectation that you'll continue the series in future?
Yeah, this is what we're really excited about. We're a young program. This is our first edition, but it's going to be an annual project. Each year, we're going to improve on the methodology. We're going to increase the scope. We're going to add more countries and just keep expanding and increasing the depth of our report.
Okay, great. Now, just turning more broadly, I just want to pick your brains for a little bit about how, I mean, particularly you being in Australia for a while, how we see cyber issues. What do you think we can expect from the cyber domain in future, particularly in the Asia Pacific?
Well, it's a very exciting time in the cyber domain. You have issues like mentioned earlier, the DOJ in China going at it over cyber commercial espionage. You have the recent decision by the U.S. to tentatively hand over control of ICANN and the domain name system by September 2015. With the Snowden revelations, there's a whole lot of discussion on the espionage side for sure, but also the privacy side. And there's all these issues that are coming together. We're just going to make the next couple of years really banner years for the shaping of what cyber will look like in the future. Even though the focus in the region and internationally is really focused on the government side of things, I think the most important thing is how the public perceives the internet. There's issues of balkanization and whatnot, which is very serious on the governmental level. But if the public itself is not willing and not trusting the internet with their personal information, with their sensitive details, it's not going to be as effective as a social mobility tool, as an economic tool. And in the future, if there's no trust in the internet, it's not going to be able to continue the way it has.
But you can see why, to some degree, people aren't very trusting of the internet. I think I saw some reports in Australia recently that there's a lot of online theft. I mean, how do governments and businesses mitigate against that kind of perception? Or what can people do to build more trust in those systems?
I think the most important thing to build more trust is simply education. I mean, there's always going to be threats on the internet to your personal accounts, your personal information. Cybercrime is something that's just going to come hand in hand with the internet. There's always a advantage to the offensive in the internet, but it's a matter of teaching basic cyber hygiene. If you can get the whole system cleaner, if you have people actually updating their software, their virus protection, there's just small steps that can really make the system more secure. There's always a risk, but there's always a risk carrying cash down the road. It's a matter of meeting the basic security and making the risk worthwhile.
Okay, right. All right. Well, look, I think that's a good overview of where the cyber debate is going around in the Asia Pacific. Clay, I want to thank you for taking the time out on a cold Canberra morning to join me to discuss this. Thanks very much. And to our listeners, thanks for joining us. Don't forget you can access our reports via ASPI's website at www.aspi.org.au or check our blog post on The Strategist. I'd also like to point out, for more cyber-related reading, Billy Pope has a new blog post on the cyber domain as part of SimSec and the Bridges co-hosted series on theories of power. And lastly, you can get past episodes of Sea Control via SimSec's website or on iTunes. And as Matthew would say, don't forget to give us a 5-star rating. But thanks again for tuning in, and have a great week.
We hope you enjoyed the show. Remember to subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher Stream Radio. Leave a comment and a 5-star rating. However, the most important thing you can do for us is to tell all of your friends. We rely on you, the loyal listener, to get out the word and foster the discussion. Looking forward to seeing you next week. Oh, you thought I meant talking to you next week. Well, that too. But we can see you. Don't worry about it. Just remember to tell all of your friends.